The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Sam Ganga. He is the president for Global Mobility Services at a company called DMI. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Good morning, John. I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, let me set up this interview, this conversation. So back in September when the Redskins and Bears were playing, I was reading Federal Computer Week and it said, here are 17 hot companies to watch. And I said, DMI, I don't know DMI, what do they do? And I started watching them. And here it comes, snow's on the ground. And so I get a hold of DMI, say, you know, I've heard stuff about you. Let's get someone in the studio and talk about your mobility solutions. And so lo and behold, they dragged in a guy from Chicago, a guy named Sam. And they said, Sam's pretty smart. Well, I'm in the studio. So that's why you're here, Sam.
Hey,
that's
glad
my
to
story.
Be here.
That's a true story here. Because I know many, many of my listeners, my typical listener is a federal IT professional. They go to work at 9 o'clock in the morning, beat their head against the wall, go to home at 5. Their hands are tied. They're doing this. You know, bozos like John Gilroy or Walson in with Microsoft Surface Pros going, hey, I want to use my Surface Pro. And you got to handle the mobile devices and all my silly, you know, request Apple Watch, I don't know. And so what I'm trying to do is just bring in new companies and new solutions and say, well, here's an idea. Have you ever considered this? Well, I don't know. Well, maybe Sam has some insight for you. Well, Sam, we do in a 1 hour interview, you have one insight for one listener and we win.
I agree.
Tell us about your background, how you wound up with DMI, please.
Sure. I've been in the business for about 25 years. I started my career mostly in the commercial sector. I spent time actually building complex systems for the airlines, trying to solve very complex problems like crew scheduling, airline scheduling. And then I got into consulting, started my own company, ran the company for 12 years. We built collaboration solutions for state and local government, education, commercial customers. And then I sold the company to DMI about 6 years ago. And I've been at DMI since then.
Well, you know, most people in your situation, they walk out of there after that little piece of paper agreement ends. You'll be for 18 months, but you stuck around. Must be a good company.
It's a great company to work for. We have a great focus. We've grown tremendously over the last 6 years. Great management team, great employees, and that's what it takes, especially as a service company. You know, to be able to take care of your employees, and they'll take care of your customers.
I bounce back to this title, Hot Companies to Watch, and you were one of them. And before you walked in the studio, we were talking in the hallway there, and you're in a bunch of federal agencies. I didn't even know. I mean, who knew, huh? I mean, how many agencies you're in?
We're in all 15 cabinet departments and about 45 agencies. We work across DOD, civilian, intel.
And not a small company. How many employees?
About 1,800 employees.
That really, I mean... We were talking in the green room and I said, 1,800? I mean, really? I mean, how come the people in town don't know about it? Well, we're going
to
resolve that with this interview today. So
my
listeners are
going to
find out what, you know, many of my listeners are, you know, I kind of jokingly talked about people walking in with devices, but devices are just falling off the trees. There's an Apple Watch coming out. There's this, there's that, there's competition. And people in a situation, how can they manage this mess? And millennials, my kids are in their 20s, they walk in and they expect mobile solutions. They expect to be able to have mobile devices 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on the vacation, not on vacation. So many of my listeners are charged with the situation where, how do they manage this? And that's what DMI is all about.
Yeah. Management of devices is sort of, it's like laying down the tracks. You know, you have to be able to manage devices. You have to be able to manage the security on the devices, on security of data, security of connections to backend systems and your mothership. That's sort of the holy grail of being able to give devices to your employees and make sure that they're going to be much more productive. But this is not a trend that's a temporary trend. It's going to be here. This is the way we will do business in the future.
Yeah, there's no choice. In fact, What we see Google doing is they've made a significant change in the last month where they have deprecated sites that if you search for a site on a mobile phone and you're not mobile compatible, you can get deprecated. And so guess what? The world's catching up to where DMI was or where you were. And I think the federal government doesn't have a choice.
They do not have a choice.
They don't have a choice at all.
I agree.
So DMI was at your website this morning. It's DMINC.com. And lo and behold, I was surprised again. I mean, wow, 200 mobile apps and sites, award-winning company, 75,000 devices under management. I mean, it's a whole lot of bragging rights there, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Actually, quick correction, a million devices under management.
A million devices under management.
A million devices under management. We take care of, some of the most complex devices out there, some of the most significant in terms of security, both in the government as well as commercial. You know, we bring a lot of commercial best practices to the government, which really helps because commercial organizations have gone through some of the pain, maybe not with some of the rigor and discipline that is required for government, but we bring those to the table as well, which is one of the key factors of our differentiation.
We had the ITA Army guy sit in the studio a couple weeks back, and he talked about deploying virtual desktops to 14,000 machines. And he said, you know, that's a pretty big deployment. I said, yeah, that's a real big deployment. That's a set of headaches. And there are listeners to this show who have very large numbers of desktops and mobile devices to handle. And so if your company, been there, done that, got the T-shirts, already managing that many, it's going to be, well, you don't understand, Sam, we have 15,000 mobile devices to manage.
Yep.
And you're going to say, well, you know, tell me something new.
I mean, yeah, that's right.
You've been down there. So take a lot of commercial experience and apply it to the federal government. That's good. There is a white paper that's available. It's called Top 8 Enterprise Mobility Trends for 2015. And I'm going to use that as kind of a framework for this interview and talk about what it's all about. And by the way, this white paper is available for free. I think you can go to DMI and download it for free. And it's vendor neutral. It doesn't talk about the federal government or private enterprises or even, in fact, doesn't talk about DMI very much. I mean, you could put this on your desk and not know who wrote it because DMI presents 8 basic business problems that human beings have, whether they're for a trade association, whether they work for the federal government, state government, or whether they work for a company. These are just basic human problems that we have today in managing businesses. And the first one is pretty obvious, is, geez, you know, mobility is changing everything.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I don't think this is something that we have a choice about. It is transforming, you know, the way agencies are going to carry out the mission. And you have to be prepared to embrace it. You know, whether you're going to try and do inspections a different way so that your inspectors are more, productive and effective, which saves them some time, makes them provide information that could be shared more quickly, whether you're going to make your citizens more involved with the agency's mission and be able to share information with them. Whatever the case is, this is going to be the way people are going to interact with the government. Employees are going to interact with the with the agencies, and you have to be able to take care of it.
Well, there are many agencies out there that send representatives out in the field, whether it's the National Transportation Safety Board mm-hmm. investigating accidents, or whether it's people from FEMA, and they have to go out. And this whole idea of putting Sam on a plane and sending him to Kansas, and then he writes up a report and puts it on a spreadsheet and then sends it back in, you know, it really just sounds like, it sounds like 1997 or something. Yeah. No one's doing that anymore.
Nobody's doing that anymore. And, you know, even if you don't look at the agencies that you mentioned, you look at, you know, examinations out there with SEC and FDIC. You know, examiners need more support when they get out there and in the field and being able to not just record information but share information or just have more information at their fingertips to be able to do a better job.
And it's so silly. My daughter just moved to Seattle, and at 3 o'clock this morning, she texted my wife a message. And, of course, guess where the smartphone was? Right next to the bed.
That's right.
And so, you know, I think from a personal basis, you know, if I call you and say, I'm going through Chicago, let's have dinner sometime, I'll probably use your I'll use an email first and then telephone you. But it's not just humans and friends. It is enterprise level. I think that's the number two point, is that this is an enterprise problem, an enterprise solution. And guess what? Just because you have a mobile app, you know, don't pat yourself on the back because you can drive a lot of information from that mobile app on your government website, can't you?
Absolutely. So let me take a step back and sort of define mobility, because it really isn't just about mobile computing. If you look at it from a broader perspective, it is being able to provide information on any screen at any time, anywhere. It is the ability to move processing power with the individual, right? And it is the ability to provide insights to the individual at the right time, right? So if you look at the underlying technologies that make it happen, the first is mobile computing, the way we've defined it in a purist fashion. The second is cloud computing, because you need that horsepower wherever you go. And the third is big data. You know, those are the big buzzwords and the trends in the industry, but it's the confluence, those three, that actually makes up mobility. And that's how, frankly, we define mobility. And there's trends out there that relate to it.
Hey, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about defining mobility and some of the challenges that my listeners are facing, and some options, some choices that they have, and maybe some options on learning more about managing mobile devices. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Sam Ganga. He is President, Global Mobility Services at DMI. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, fresh from Chicago, is Sam Ganga. He is the President, Global Mobility Services at DMI. We're talking about ways to manage mobile devices. And I talked about a white paper, and it gives 8 points, but there's really three to focus in on for this interview. What are the 3 points you want to focus in on here, Sam?
I think, if you look at the way we define mobility that we talked about right before the break, the first trend is really around cloud computing. You know, there is a lot of interest and a need to lift and shift large infrastructures that the government directly manages today into a FedRAMP facility. And, you know, we are, you know, one of the companies that provides a FedRAMP facility. And the key here is to make sure that you are providing yourself the ability to do a better job of efficiency, of responsiveness, and, you know, take care of the mission needs more directly. So that's the first trend that we see that is extremely important. The second is really managing mobile devices. And mobile device management is not as restrictive as it sounds, because device management is not just about the device. It's about the data on the device. It's about the security of the connection. It is about, you know, providing a capability to essentially managing the risk and exposure that you have for data on the device. That's really what it boils down to. So that's the second trend that I would say is extremely important. And the third, not necessarily in any particular order, is actually building applications to support these mobile devices. Gone are the days now where the email is a killer mobile app. You know, it's not the killer mobile app. You're going to have to find the way to make your employees not just more productive, but more effective. And we talked about the inspection app as being an example, but there are other examples. We've built an app that is extremely popular with agencies that need to provide emergency notifications. It's called SecureTrack. You can find it on our website. SecureTrack is an example of an app that allows you to manage emergency notifications, in times of need, whether it's a FEMA or whether it's a base that requires people to communicate, or an embassy, somewhere in the world. But mobile application development needs to be embraced as a discipline and a requirement by agencies, and pretty quickly at that.
You know, 2 or 3 years ago, I would joke on the radio, oh, there's an app for that. There's an app for that. Well, we're kind of post there's an app for that. Now, of course, there's an app for that.
Right, absolutely.
Now you have the app. Now what? I mean, this is like maturation. It's like, my first car was kind of a funky old car, but now I got one with air conditioning. And it's maturation of what the apps are all about. And I think I didn't realize you guys provided cloud solutions as well. I that's another surprise for me and for my audience. And so your cloud solution is complies with security, but you give us the ability to derive more information from the app instead of just providing, for example, Secure Track, but you can gather more information from that app, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. The idea here is to create that two-way traffic between the employees. So you're gathering information as much as you're sharing information. And now you've got the ability for an employee to be much more effective. And I use the word effective more than I use productive. Because, an employee is productive with email. But the question becomes, what information are you actually sharing, that will help your mission? If you're doing a great job of sharing information about the mission itself, that employee is going to be much more effective in terms of doing their job and better insights and better capabilities there.
I told that silly story about the message that came in the middle of the night. But the point is that there are listeners who were sitting at home at 10 o'clock and there was a train crash outside of Philadelphia. And guess what? They had to know about it. I mean, your job is 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Well, that's not even close to being true for many of my listeners. And so all of a sudden, you may be able to derive more information than you expected from that little app about an emergency situation.
Hmm? Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can, with regards to Secure Track in particular, you can, send an SOS message, It is effective in a campus setting. It is effective in a base setting. It is effective at embassies. You can think of multiple scenarios where it applies. But that's just one example. Think about how many apps that you can build that way. And, you're going to get into a situation where app usage is beginning to already, run up against security, right? And because security requires that rigor and discipline. The biggest thing with device management is that you have to have security. Without security, you really can't deploy devices. If you can't deploy devices, you really don't have any apps. But apps require a level of usability. So now you've got this little bit of a situation, which a lot of our agencies face, our customers face, is that you've got security bumping up against usability. So you've got to find that happy medium between the two. You can have the most secure app. I'm sorry, the most secure device. But if the apps on it are not usable, the device is really not worth a whole lot.
I teach a course in social media management at Georgetown in the graduate school there, and we take and rip apart websites and suggestions how to improve them. And I went to your website, and I saw the theme that reinvent business through mobility. That's good. What my students would debate, and they'd throw chairs and yell and scream at me, is that should my website be a mobile website or should I have a mobile app? Now, this was a debate 2 or 3 years ago. It's still debating now. I don't know. Is that still part of the debate now, or are mobile apps just kind of swarmed it and there's no more consideration for mobile websites?
Yeah, no, I actually use the word mobile app, sort of to represent both, really, mobile websites as well as mobile app. That is the debate still. A mobile app is richer in experience. It is more native experience. A mobile website tends to be based on a least common denominator, right? So you've got the experience that could shift a little bit from the native feel of the device you're carrying. However, you've got a challenge because unless you have a completely uniform set of devices within your enterprise, which organizations are moving away from, the investment required to build a mobile app for a iOS operating system and then the same app for an Android operating system, that's a pretty expensive proposition as opposed to building one that would work across multiple platforms. So partially it is a usability question, a customer experience question, and it is certainly a cost and a return on investment question.
Yeah, I always ask my guests, and I'll ask you this in a few minutes about mobile fitness devices and wearables and stuff. But I was trolling through your company blog, and I saw a fascinating title. I love good titles of blog posts. And this was "Weighing In on Wearables." And so, if my listeners are trying to figure out how to handle wearable devices and how to manage them, I think this blog post is a good little stepping stone, isn't it? I like that title.
It is. It is. You can find it on our website, DMINC. .com in our blogs, /blogs. So that's one of the key things that we talk about because we have so much exposure, not only within working with agencies, but also working with commercial customers.
You got to generate a policy first. So what do you do? I mean, who ever thought of people waltzing around with 7 or 8 devices on their body? I mean, who knew?
Yeah, absolutely. And devices are not just what you wear around your wrist. It could be there are devices that look like sleeves that are sending all kinds of information about your your movements. There are devices that look like Band-Aids, and they're sending all kinds of information about, you know, fairly complex biomarkers, you know, within your system. So the question really becomes, what is the value that these wearables and, you know, at a broader term, Internet of Things provide to your business?
Risk assessment. What is the risk?
Yeah.
So John Gilroy waltzes in with some kind of a strange fitness device. Should we let him in the building or not? I mean, what's the risk? I mean, you have to have a policy on this. We thought of it 3 years ago.
You do. I mean, I was at an agency earlier where, you know, they had a skiff, and I didn't realize that I walked in with my watch. I wear a Samsung Gear 2 watch. And I walked in with it, and he stopped me, and he said,
"Hey, buddy,
you can take photographs with it. You need to leave it in the locker, right?"
So there's a policy.
There's a policy there, and he was looking out for it, and I actually was very impressed. You know, of course, for me, it's an extension of my arm, literally. But he noticed it, and he told me to go put it back, and I thought that was pretty significant.
Well, I'm glad it was there when you get back. Oh, it disappeared accidentally. I always wonder what happens in some of those situations. Let's take a break and come back, talk more about mobile and cloud and where that intersects and the good news and the bad news. And okay, so there's a lot of new apps out there. How do you manage them? What are the risks in managing them? And some of the strengths that your company brings in that area, including two-factor authentication, hardware-based security, and secure container and encryption, which is... This is like the surprise show of the year for me. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Sam Ganga. He is President, Global Mobility Services at DMI. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Sam Ganga. He is President, Mobile Services at DMI. And we're talking about some mobile madness today. And I got to open up with a quote from my buddy Larry Page, my wealthy friend Larry Page, and he once said, "Hey, we are in a mobile-only world." That's a pretty strong statement, huh, Sam?
It is, and I would agree with him. Actually, we are pretty much in a mobile-only world, and in certain situations, if we're not there already, we're getting there pretty fast.
Speaking of mobile devices, what we've seen in the last year is that 800 million smartphones were sold, and many cars today have Bluetooth. And so we see podcasts becoming very, very popular and trending upward. Mm-hmm. One of the competitors here is called National Public Radio. They had a 43% increase in podcasts downloaded, and this show is a podcast as well. So you can go to Google and type in Federal Tech Talk podcast, and you can download this at the Apple Store, and you can subscribe.
Yeah.
And so there's no excuse for your wife and kids not to listen to this interview now. Oh, Dad, do I have to?
I know,
yes,
exactly
you have
what's
to.
Happen, yeah.
And so you can listen online. You can listen to the podcast. You can actually drive around in your car and listen. All kinds of choices to hear about Sam's insights. What about blogs? Is there a blog you can recommend that people should read to gain insight? And we have the DMI one. Tell us about the DMI and maybe other ones that are of value.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the blogs that we maintain are at dminc.com / blogs. There's another section which is / white papers. We have a lot of information, a little more detail on the white papers that are valuable. You know, the interesting blog that we've published in the recent past has to do with what we call Mobilegeddon, which is essentially Google's policy now to essentially ensure that organizations that have a mobile web presence are going to be ranked higher. That's a real issue, and that's a real deal. If you're searching for a source on your mobile device and you want your agency or you want your information to show up first and it's not mobile-enabled, it's going to show up on page 7, which you don't want. So you got to make sure that organizations want to do that and are keeping up with the times. And now you're getting penalized for it. So,
If you use a mobile device to search for it, but guess what? According to Gartner, by 2018, 70% of mobile professionals will be using smart devices. So it's not like, oh, that rare bird, someone in the middle of Chicago or somewhere is using a smart. No, everyone's using them all the time, and it's immediate, and they're trying to get information. And if you don't keep up, you're going to get in big trouble. A lot of times people would type in mobile device management. They'd stumble on companies like Fixmo, Mobile Iron, AirWatch, And these are the companies that I have heard in the federal marketplace here. But what your company does is you approach it from a strategic perspective and then kind of get your toolbox out and pick and choose the right tool for that specific agency.
Yeah. There isn't a one-size-fits-all because every situation, every use case, every agency has a specific set of requirements that they're trying to meet. And so our ability to sort of understand these various vendors and their platforms and their products, in depth, and really appreciate how it can solve a problem is where we bring value. And sometimes, you've got to use multiple multiple vendors and multiple products to create a solution. So that's where our strength is. And that's why we approach it from a solution perspective, not from a product perspective. And there are obviously vendors that do products a lot better than we do. And we need to make sure that we are a solution provider at the end of the day.
My son once asked me why I have two sets of toolboxes. And I said, well, when I first started off, I was working on American-made cars. And then I started working on European-made cars. I had metrics tools. And so the same thing applies for the National Guard versus Department of Interior versus Commerce. I mean, each one of these agencies is going to have a different tool set that may or may not fit. And I think a strategic approach that looks at what are the requirements? Let's look at apps. And then next look at, some tools that may or may not be a good fit. And I think this gives you a detached perspective on what the right tool is. If you're only a dealer and for product A or company A, they can say, hey, this is the best product ever. And then it may not be.
Yep. And, it's the hammer and nails kind of syndrome, right? Every situation is going to look the same to me, and I'm going to force fit a solution, which we do not want to do. We have been recognized as one of the leaders in mobility globally. We're probably the largest pure play mobile company in the world. If you go to our site at dminc.com/government, you'll see recognition we received from Gartner in their Magic Quadrant for Managed Mobility Services, from Forrester as being the top vendor solution provider for managing BYOD solutions, and Forrester for building apps. You'll see quite a few reports there and the accolades that we've received from these from the analyst community in terms of our thought leadership and our ability to deliver solutions. But that comes from having this agnostic view of how do you solve a problem based on all the tools that are available in the industry. We see that today, for example, one of the biggest requirements in especially the DoD sector is managing security through derived credentials, where you need to be able to derive your mobile credentials from a secure existing authenticated source, like a certificate authority. You have to be able to do that in order to show that you are now a secure environment on a mobile device. Because if you think the cyber attacks are only to the websites that we have, you're mistaken. You got now devices available out there, and that each one of those devices that you have out there are a potential entry point. So organizations are going to struggle with that.
So we have derived credentials important for accessing mobile devices. But the other part of this is the cloud itself. I mean, all of a sudden, we're changing the rules of the game. I start off the show by making this silly thing about they beat their head against the wall. Well, that's why they beat their head against the wall, is because, okay, it's no longer Joe Smith with a computer and the server down the hall. The server could be 1,000 miles away, and Joe Smith could be in a mobile device another 1,000 miles away. The degree of difficulty just ramps up with the mobile devices in the cloud.
Yeah, it does. And that convergence is causing more consternation, because not only does your connectivity need to be secure, but your destination where, a cloud needs to be secure. FedRAMP is a solution around that, right? Having a FedRAMPed cloud environment is extremely important, because it has all the controls necessary to maintain security. It has all the physical security requirements on the facility itself. So, this is an evolving area for all of us. And if I were to sit here saying I know all the answers, I'd be lying to you. What I do know is how we can figure out the answers, because we got the best engineers in the business. And that's what we've been doing for our customers, and solving how do you address the specific need, and what products and solutions have we done before that will help our customers be more successful in their endeavors?
And I think especially your success in the financial environment. I mean, if your company is a large player in the commercial world, okay, and all of a sudden many of the concerns that financial institutions have, my listeners have. And if you can provide a secure environment that I think according to this white paper, up in the ante, I mean, all of a sudden security, it changes the rules a whole lot more for mobile apps.
Yep. And it goes back to the point, right, where email is not the killer app. If it were, and if it is in the future, I think people are going to have a problem with it, because the investment in mobile devices is pretty significant, because we're not at a point right now, we will be in the very near future, where people are giving you a mobile device like a phone or a phablet and saying, well, I'm going to take your laptop away. They're not doing that yet. I want to talk about that in a second. But yeah, you know, your mobile device is actually going to host a set of enterprise apps. And those enterprise apps are going to carry data. And if you're going to carry data, you have the risk that you're going to, you know, any data leakage is going to cause a problem.
And so apps is one way to control that flow. Let's take a little break. We can come back. I want to ask questions about off-premise versus on-premise, trial period, maybe dashboards. I mean, I have a whole long list of questions about managing the mobile device, and my listeners are thinking about it too. What about a dashboard? What about reports? Mm-hmm. I want to know what happened last month. I want to know what happened to my remote. What kind of incidents were there? What kind of bad actors tried to get in? Who didn't get in? I mean, there's so many questions involved with something as small as just the smartphones itself, not talking about tablets or anything else. But we'll take a little break here, come back, talk more about some options involved in mobile management. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Sam Ganga. He is president of Global Mobile Services at DMI. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Sam Ganga. He is president of Global Mobility Services at DMI. And what they're doing is reinventing businesses through mobility. And if you go to their site, may scratch your head and go, maybe it's not an understatement. Maybe it's an accurate statement. They're involved in so many different areas, everywhere from cloud to big data to designing apps, wearables. There's all kinds of information from the company. I think they have a Twitter handle. What's the Twitter handle again? It's DMI?
2002.
So DMI 2002. And I went there this morning and looked at all kinds of odds and ends and awards they've been getting and growing in all kinds of different areas. And I think from the perspective of a federal information technology professional, I think most of the listeners realize that, yeah, there's big changes coming in places, all kinds of new things, you know, desktops are a thing of the past. People are having these tablets, they're having mobile devices, they're switching real quickly. I can't keep track of who's got what. How can I manage all this? And okay, that's just managing the hardware. What about the data that's coming? It's like tsunami of data coming in, and big data. So all these mobile apps, mobile devices, just giving you all kinds of data, and how do you manage it?
Yeah, so I think it starts from looking at the how do you harness your data from within your organization. Your agencies have an enormous amount of data that they've collected over the last, you know, few decades here. And we know that the amount of data is just ramping up in terms of being able to imbibe more and more information. So I think a part of this is being able to find the right solution to digest this information without trying to make it all fit into a nice normalized view of the world, but being able to get that information quickly using big data technologies and being able to then share that quickly with, you know, employees, like I said, wherever, whenever, and, you know, they want it. And that's the key to being able to bring insights to the employees. You know, you've got in-memory databases that are available from a variety of different vendors, such as SAP, such as IBM, Oracle. The ability to digest that information without trying to put it into a nice, clean format is where the power of big data lies. And of course, the ability to share it through a mobility channel is where it is realized. And that's where we provide as well.
Many of my listeners listen to the show and they go, what was that guy really like? What kind of cell phone did he have? What kind of a smartphone did he have? And so I've come up with a 10-question scientific test, Sam. It's going to ask you questions. We're going to find out if you are, in fact, a card-carrying nerd. The first question is, do you have an Instagram account?
I do not.
Okay.
Failed the first question.
And how many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
4.
Well, now all of a sudden, now you get more nerd points there. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do. It's Sam_Ganga.
Okay. And have you ever used Meerkat or Periscope?
I've used Periscope. Between the two, you know.
You get points.
Okay. I get points for using Periscope.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have a iOS, iPhone 6, and a Samsung S6.
What's the most popular app on that iPhone in the last 30 days?
Given the amount of travel, it's either United or Southwest, one of the two.
So we break into your house, and how many tablet devices do we find floating around your house?
Ooh, 6.
6? Getting some nerd points here. What was your most recent post in social networking?
Oh, and the recent post was actually this morning about how mobile advertising.
Nerd points here.
It was about mobile advertising and, you know, what... the acquisition of AOL
is
all about.
You get your points for that. And do you have a mobile fitness device in your person? I know you have a watch there. I don't know if that counts as a mobile fitness device or not.
Well, actually, my Samsung watch here has all my fitness needs. So besides having a camera on it.
Big nerd points. Okay. Last book you read, Sam, was it in paper or electronic?
Electronic.
You are a card-carrying nerd, my friend.
I qualify?
Yes, you do. Just that watch alone will probably qualify you. And then we'll see if you walk in here one day with a $17,000 Apple Watch. And you'll really get a pocket protector. You can put like a foil hat in your head, protect yourself from the Klingons reading your mind or something.
I need an armed bodyguard, too.
Yeah, something like that. It's interesting. You know, when I started the show 8 years ago, who knew this the idea of mobile would catch on and mobile apps and websites and phablets? And to tell you the truth, it was way beyond me. I couldn't predict it. I don't know how many people did predict it, but we have it. And it's hard to take and say, well, geez, that was 7 years. What about 7 years from now? And you are an experienced person. You've been with small companies and big companies, been knocked around. You've seen good things and bad things. And so for the benefit of my listeners, Sam, where's this all heading? Where's DMI heading? Where's this whole mobility heading? Is there going to be people coming in taking away desktops? Is it all going to be on tablets? Or what's going to happen here for my listeners?
So, you know, if you look at this from a use case perspective, right, and I'll answer this in terms of starting a trend that is starting already. If you're the CIO of an organization agency, you've got, let's say, 10,000 laptops and desktops. So you're refreshing on a 4-year end of life, you're refreshing about 2,500 of them every year. The question for you is, what are you going to replace it with? Are you going to buy another desktop? Are you going to buy another laptop? That's where most CIOs are scratching their head. At what point do I start replacing these desktops and laptops with mobile devices that are going to be what people are going to use in the future? It could be a Surface Pro. That seems like one of the choices, because it is still within the purview of your system management tools. It could be an iPad. It could be anything that you think the agency employees are going to use. So when you look into the future, two things are happening. You're going to get into a very diverse environment, right? You're going to have phablets, phones, and tablets.
And who knows? An X.
An X that you might... Wearables. It might be the one that...
The SAM device.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, exactly, right? You're going to have... From what we can see right now, it's going to be not only more complex, but it's going to be complexity is not going to come from just the kinds of devices you're going to carry because of varying devices, but you've got more operating systems and you've got more browsers that you have to manage on those operating systems. So when you look at this complexity, what we believe is that organizations, agencies are going to move to a managed service model where they're going to say, somebody's got to take care of this problem for me so that I could go focus on the mission.
How many hours in a day are there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Your job is not to keep up with devices. Your job is to make sure people are safe in the air and safe on trains.
Exactly. Our job is to help you keep track of those devices. So if you go to our website, you'll see an article which talks about outsourcing your enterprise mobility management. And it's also available on the public domain there at itbriefcase.net/outsourcing-your-enterprise-mobility-management. It talks about the points as to why organizations need to think about this. But that's one of the trends, right? The bigger trend is going to be IoT. IoT is Internet of Things is going to, we only are managing personal devices today. Tomorrow, if you start managing things that could be nodes, that could be your wearable, that could be machine intelligence.
Sensors, cameras.
Give me anything, a list. You know, those are all going to carry data. Now, how are you going to manage the security on that? How are you going to manage the information that is being transmitted by that device? Those are all things that are going to become even more important. And you want to start that process now. You want to find your partner that's going to start managing these devices for you.
Or start reading about it and reading blog entries and companies like yours that have managed other devices and just see what Sam has to say. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know who wrote this weighing in on wearables. I might want to read that and just to see what their perspective is and put it in the back of my mind and go, well, I don't know what I'm going to present with in 2 or 3 years. I mean, railroads could have sensors on them now, and they probably do, and all kinds of devices there and new opportunities for attack. And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but there's security implications for everything we talked about today.
There is, and there is actually a direct impact on mission. If you're an agency that actually has an agent, out in the on the field, what does the agent of 2020 look like? What is he or she going to be equipped with? Right.
Well, they're not going to have a suit and tie on. I tell you that
they're
much.
They're going to have wearables. They're going to have much more information. They're going to have much better, more sophisticated information about threat intelligence. That's what you've got to get ready for. That's where we see this entire, the drive towards mobility going.
And, that's really true. I mean, so many people now are, I would imagine if you took a millennial and said, you have to choose between your car and a smartphone, you can have one or two, what do you want?
Yeah.
They're going to get rid of that car.
Yeah. Unless the car is really smart. And,
well, it's a smart car, maybe, huh? Yeah. Maybe there's driverless cars or something. But that's an interesting perspective to see what's going to happen in a few years. We'll have to find out. I'd like to thank my guest, Sam, for coming in here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest this morning was Sam Ganga, President, Global Mobility Services at DMI. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, John. Pleasure to be here.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.